This podcast is a service of South Canyon Baptist Church in Rapid City, South Dakota. For more information about our church, visit southcanyonbaptist.org.
Hello, South Canyon. Welcome back for another podcast with Pastor Brent and me, Pastor Josh. And now we want to talk about what our sermon series will be in January. So we are going to be kicking off a pretty epic journey through the book of Acts. The book of Acts is 28 chapters, and it is a action-packed ride for sure. So we wanted to talk about that a little bit on what we're going to do starting in January. I'm really excited about it and a little scared because there are some crazy things that happen in Acts that are not going to be the easiest to preach through and untangle. But it's going to be really stirring, I think, for our church. So, Brent, why don't you tell us a little bit of why? Why did you think this was the right time for us to go through the book of Acts?
People have asked me before about how I typically or normally choose what to preach on and what books to preach through. And in some ways, it's not a super mystical thing. It's not like I believe I receive any direct revelation, obviously, on what I'm supposed to do exactly. But I do think and I pray about our church and where we are. But I guess one of the primary considerations that I have when I'm making a decision like this or thinking through this is giving the congregation a balanced diet in terms of God's Word. I want to preach New Testament and Old Testament. I want to preach, when I preach New Testament, I want to preach narrative, and I want to preach epistles, and I want to preach the different kinds of scripture that we find in God's Word, because I think that's important. And so we just are now finishing, about to finish, depending on when you listen, obviously, to this podcast. We've finished Titus, and before Titus, we did our series in the summer with different psalms, and then the last series we had through a book was the book of Romans. And so Romans is an epistle. Titus is also a pastoral epistle, so a little bit different than Romans, obviously. But I was thinking about, we have not done anything in terms of New Testament narrative. We did the Gospel of Mark quite a while ago. And as I was just thinking through the different things in the New Testament that are of that character, that nature in terms of what they are and the story they tell, I just love the book of Acts. And so as I thought about the need or the maybe that it was about the time to do something along those lines or in that way in the scriptures, I just began to get excited about Acts because it's one of my favorite books in the Bible, in the New Testament particularly. I remember very vividly when I was wrestling with call to ministry as a teenager, as an older teenager, how the book of Acts, reading the book of Acts and thinking about and dreaming about what God wants the church to be and what He wants His people to be. You get a picture of that in Acts. Obviously, the church is not perfect. It wasn't then. It is now. But there are some things that we read about in the book of Acts as we read about the early church that are challenging and convicting and exciting to think about what could be, what should be, what God desires for His church. So all of that together is went into my thinking through this. And it will be a very long series. We don't want to run through it too fast, but we also don't want to spend 5 years, so we're going to spend about a year and a half, or maybe two, not counting summers, when we'll not be in Acts. We'll break next summer, but we'll be in Acts for a good while.
Yeah, that's a pretty significant amount of time, but I think it'll be time well spent. If you're kind of new to the Bible and you're not really sure what we mean when we say the book of Acts, let me just give you a little orientation here. The book of Acts follows the four Gospels, the four biographies of Jesus in the New Testament. And Acts is actually a sequel to the book of Luke. Luke is a doctor. He traveled with Paul in his missionary journeys, interacted with a lot of the apostles, and was an exceptional historian. And what he did is he had a friend named Theophilus. We learn this in the book of Luke, that he had a friend named Theophilus that either was a Christian and was doubting or was not yet a Christian. And so Luke says that he has set out to put together an orderly account. And so this is like an academic research paper almost. I mean, he has gone to great lengths in the book of Luke to catalog historically And I think he actually did a lot of interviews. In fact, that's why I think he knows so much about what Mary's thinking. Is I'm kind of wondering if he didn't actually talk to Mary and get some of that Christmas story in Luke 1, 2, even into Luke 3, where we have such intimate details about Mary and what she was thinking. I kind of wonder if he didn't actually interview her and get a lot of first-person accounts. That's my belief. So Luke is the longest gospel. It's the most detailed gospel. And again, it's because this Dr. Luke just set out to set an orderly account, really just for his friend, just to convince his friend Theophilus that the stories of Jesus were true and that that the message of Jesus and the gospel really was true. And so it's a remarkable book. Luke then decided that, hey, I ought to continue the story. And so where Luke ends with the resurrection, then the book of Acts is a second account of what happens then resurrection onward for the next 25 to 30 years in the life of the church. So what happens then when Jesus ascends into heaven and the Holy Spirit comes and all of a sudden you have the church and all these things that Jesus said would begin to take place, start to take place. And so you have the church forming, you have missionaries being sent out, you have the gospel going forth in ways that the new covenant is breaking in, the gospel's going forth, the Holy Spirit is poured out, and it is just a crazy account of how God's power is unleashed in the world through the witness of the apostles and other Christians. So it's an exciting story put together by a guy who lived it, Luke, and his orderly account, his orderly history of the first 2 to 3 decades of the church. And it's amazing.
And I think it's interesting, too, how he begins the book of Acts in light of what you just said about Theophilus and so forth, that it's a sequel. The book of Acts is a sequel to the book of Luke. Acts begins in the first book, meaning Luke, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Mm-hmm. And the implication there is this book is about what Jesus continues and continued to do and to teach. He was taken up into heaven. Luke is about what happened until then. And what he began, but he says he just began to do and teach. You would think that the book of Luke was about all that Jesus did and teach, at least all that we have recorded for us, but it's not. It's just the beginning. And again, the book of Acts is often called, as a matter of fact, in this particular Bible that I'm looking at now, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. But I think it would be better called the Acts of Jesus by the Spirit through the apostles.
Yeah.
Because it's Jesus continuing to do and to teach through his church, by the Holy Spirit, through his apostles and through the people of God. And that's why it's such an exciting book, because it's Jesus continued, mm-hmm. so to speak. It's Jesus continuing to do his work through the Holy Spirit who's within us.
Yep. Yeah, the book of Acts is just so so riveting. It'll be really fun. There's so many so many fascinating stories. There's really complex things that happen. As the old covenant is being replaced by the new covenant, it gets a little messy in some spots as people start to get used to people of God being both Jew and Gentile, that the gospel is going to go to all nations. The people of God used to be a come and see people. Now they're a go and tell people. You have the formation of the church, leadership in the church, missions in the church. You have how does Paul evangelize Jews? How does he evangelize Gentiles? You have all kinds of suffering and martyrdom for the faith. You have false gospels and false twisting of the truth. It's all over the place, and it's an amazing, amazing account.
Yeah, and one of the things we'll also do, obviously, as we come to Acts, is we'll see in Acts chapter 2 the day of Pentecost, first reference in the New Testament to speaking in tongues. And obviously that'll cause us to delve into some things that at times are controversial and difficult in the book of Acts. And then there's a great deal about that as you go forward in the book of Acts, the coming of the Spirit at different times to different groups. And what does that mean in terms of our understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit, the filling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our day? So we'll wrestle through some of these difficult questions that people have about the Holy Spirit and about even tongues as we see them in Acts chapter 2 and then further in the book of Acts and what it means to be filled with the Spirit and so forth. So yeah. The book of Acts is a narrative, but there's a lot of doctrinal implications and important truths that we need to uncover and will uncover as we walk through Acts.
Yep. Last year, I took the student ministry through Acts, and we did it in 4 months, so we were clipping fast. But I've had the students say, many of them, older and younger students, say it was one of their favorite series, just because it's got a lot in it, and it's the Spirit's work through actually what's just ordinary people. Some of the heroes, you obviously have guys like Peter and Paul, but there's all kinds of other guys that are really critical, like Barnabas and Timothy and, you know, all these sub-characters too that just have a few verses but end up being Aquila and Priscilla, and their ministry shows up in there. And it has a little bit of everything. And I found it so encouraging because it's like it's clearly God's work through ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And that's still true today. That's the same Spirit that was poured out in Acts on those people and moved them is not any less powerful or any less at work today. And so we can take confidence that Acts is in many ways the book that hasn't finished yet. Mm-hmm. It hasn't ended. It's just a to be continued.
Yeah, I was going to mention the fact that there is a church planting network called Acts 29. And there are only 28 chapters in Acts, and the implication of that and the meaning behind that is God is still working. Obviously, what he did and what's recorded in Acts is divine scripture. It's holy scripture.
Right.
And so there's a difference, but at the same time, it's similar in the fact that the same Spirit, the same church is still moving right. toward taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, as we're told in Acts 1:8, Jesus told the disciples to do. So
yep.
It's an exciting thing to think about what could be in terms of the local church, and what should be, what,
yeah.
what
and what has
be.
Been. These
and,
are our, yes. these are our, this is our family heritage. This is where we come from. This is our DNA. And so it's cool. So
and of course,
I'm excited about it.
And of course, toward the end, you get to, you know, and even before the end, you get to Paul, you know, and his missionary journeys and so forth. And it's a great opportunity to just think again about what God's called us as a church to do in terms of international missions and taking the gospel where it hasn't gone, which was Paul's passion.
So, yep, yeah. yep. Well, I hope that gets you excited. As you can probably tell, we're excited about it. It is going to be a long series, but I do not think it will be boring. If there's one thing the book of Acts is not, it's boring. And and it'll be, I think, very stirring for our church to see where we've come from, see what the Spirit began to do, and that we are a continuation of that same work. And the Spirit is still doing those kinds of things, saving people, persevering through suffering, drawing men to himself, radically saving. He is still doing all of those things, and for that we can rejoice. So thank you for this time, and if there's any questions you have about this sermon series, or if there's some suggestions on how to begin reading and preparing, we would love to help you out with that and for you to get the most out of this time together. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you later.
This podcast has been a service of South Canyon Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this production has been an encouragement to you. May God bless you.